So today is the last Chabura in Yuma, and that's a lot of responsibility. But we're going to talk about the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. So the fourth section of the Avodas Yom Kippurim is the Kohen Gadol going back into the Kodesh Kedashim, taking out the Kaf Amachta that he brought in and left when he did the Ktoras. And just off the boat, and trying to set up what we're going to be doing over the course of the Chabura, is there's a lot of mixed evidence about the prominence of the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. You know, there's evidence that it seems to be something which is really not so substantial. You know, on the one hand, there's no clear reference in the Psukim to the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. It's not said explicitly. Furthermore, even if it is there, it's not mentioned in the correct order, clearly. It's mentioned before the Elohim. And additionally, according to Rav Chaim B'Dasa Rambam, there isn't a din kol hashana of having to bring the Havas HaKtoras in. So now there's going to be on Yom Kippur a din of Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. We're going to not only double down that we're going to have Havaz Kaf Amachta, but we're going to even have to take out Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. But on the other hand, there seems to be a lot of evidence that something is more prominent at hand, right? You're doing a tefillah beforehand. You're doing a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim both before and afterwards. You're wearing the Big Day Lavan. You're going into the Kodesh Kedashim to be able to take out the Kaf Amachta. So we seem to have a lot of different mixed evidence about the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. And I really wanted to, you know, set up the Chabura to ask three main questions when it comes to the Kaf Amachta. The first question is, when is the Kaf Amachta done in relation to the Karban Tamid? Is the Karban Tamid come before or after the Kaf Amachta? That's going to be question number one. Question number two, is the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta considered an avoda or not, or maybe something a little more complex? And number three, is the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta considered part of the Seder Hayom regarding Chukah? Is it considered something which is part of the Seder Hayom and thus subject to Chukah or not? So those are going to be the three main sections. But we're first going to just start with a couple of Ha'aras in the Psukim, then go to question number one, question number two, question number three, and then hopefully at the end have, you know, two more suggestions, one from Rav Rosenzweig and one my own, to try and explain what's going on. So let's start with the Psukim. So the first question you have to ask is Hotzaz Kaf Amachta even in the Psukim? Right? The Yerushalmi has a Deya of Rav Yosa, who holds that there is actually no reference to the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta at all. Right? Uva, Aaron, that we're about to read in a second, not talking about the Kaf Amachta, it's teaching me that you still need Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim Tefila for, you know, taking off clothes. Has nothing to do with the Kaf Amachta. And there really would emerge from Rav Yosa, as pointed out by the art scroll, the footnotes are, you know, in the Yerushalmi, which we like the art scroll footnotes in the Yerushalmi, they're quite good. But obviously he still thinks there is a Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. He's not denying the whole 5:10. There is a Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. It's just not mentioned in the Psukim. And when I asked Rav Rosenzweig, he thought this would be a not necessarily, it could go either way, but Rosenzweig thought that this would be a greater expression of downplaying the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. It's not even in the Psukim. Okay, is being out of order worse or not being mentioned? Rosenzweig thought not being mentioned is the greatest expression that the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta isn't even something which is significant. However, that's not the mainstream view. The Gemara and Yuma and Daf Lamed Beis and the Gemara and Yuma Daf Ayin Amed Beis and Rashi already, Allah Torah is already referencing that, yes, it's there, but it's just written out of order. It really happens later. It happens in the fourth section. But we're trying to have 5 and 10, and based on halacha, Moshe Sinai, and therefore we're going to push off the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta, but really there is a reference to the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. So the question is, okay, if there is a reference, so then what is the reference? How do we know that is referring to the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta? So if we look in Vayikra, Tazayin, Chav Gimel, Uva Aaron el Ohel Moed. Aaron comes to the Ohel Moed. Ufashad as Bigdei Habad. He takes off the clothes that he was wearing. Asher lavash bevo el Kodesh. V'nicham sham. So Aaron just comes into the Ohel Moed, takes off his clothes. It sounds like he's like leaving them there, and that's what the pasuk says. So how do you know that that is referring to the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta? So the Ramban says, this pasuk makes no sense. Darshini. It's impossible that the Torah is telling us that Aaron has to do a special coming to the Ohel Moed just to literally take off his clothes and be unclothed in the Heichal Hashem. So therefore, the pasuk must refer to some avoda that does not need to be mentioned because it's so obvious that it just needs to be taken care of. And that is referring to the Hotzaz Kaf Amachta. But it can't be that the Torah is just telling you, Aaron, to take off his clothes in the Ohel Moed and leave them there. However, Tosfos in Yuma and Daf Lamed Beis offers a different perspective. He has a fascinating Havamina. He says, why don't we say that Uva Aaron isn't referring to the Kaf Amachta, but rather it's coming to break up the Avodas Pnim, And it's either referring to the Torahs or to the Hazos, but Uva is a separate, it's trying to separate the Avodas Pnim, and it's referring to one of the Avodas Pnim, again, either the Hazos or the Torahs. And he says, but for the Kafu Machta, Aval, this is Lashon over here, Aval Hatzos Kafu Machta, mean no one the Avodahi, Lahatzrich Latfilah Bafnei Atma. Why would we assume that the Hatzos Kafu Machta is going to be its own avoda? Okay, we need 5 and 10. But why would we assume that Hatzos Kafu Machta is going to be an avoda that requires its own tefillah? I would much rather assume that the Pesukim are saying, let's separate the avodas pnim, because Kafu Machta is not an avoda. So it seems for Tosos' question in Havamina that Hatzos Kafu Machta isn't significant on its own. It is not significant enough on its own to justify a tefillah just for its sake. It does not seem to be an avoda for the question. But then Tosos answers that the other avodas pnim, we already have the pasuk of uva vehevi, so we don't need another pasuk to tell me uva aron, because we already have aron coming in for both the ktores and for the hazos pnim. So this uva aron must be referring to the hazos kafu machta, because it cannot be referring to the ktores or the hazos. So you obviously have the question for Tosos, if in the Havamina he assumes that hazos kafu machta is not a significant enough avoda to justify a tefillah. But then he says that the pasuk is referring to a kafu machta. So is it now considered an avoda that justifies tefillah or not? But we still just tell the gzeiras hakasav that there is a tefillah. But that's something which definitely emerges from Tosos, another way of understanding why this pasuk has to be talking about the tzaz kafu machta. But there's another fascinating question which emerges from the pasukim, which already is quoted by Rav Chaim Paltiya on the Chizkuni, who has an interesting suggestion. Why do we have this avoda of the kafu machta at all? Just leave the kafu machta until next year. You'll get it next year. And then that would make this avoda redundant, because you could just leave it there until next year. You'll take it out then. And thus, the hotzos kafu machta, if you would go in to take them out, it should be a bia reikonis. The Barbanel has a slightly different version of the question. Instead of saying you should leave it till next year, he says, why don't you take out the kaf, which is empty right after you do the Torah? It's not hot, right? And then you'll take out the machta when it cools down, either by the par or by the sire. But you shouldn't have to come in a fourth time. That should be a bia reikonis. And they, again, Rav Chaim Paltiya and the Chizkuni give the answer. It's not a bia reikonis because it's a gnai to Hashem to leave deshen there. So obviously you can't just leave something there for the next year. But the very question already seems to assume that Hotzos Kafu Machta is not playing a fundamental role. It would literally be a bia reikonis to have to go in and take it out. One more question that I want to address in the Pesukim before I move on to the next section is, why is Hotzos Kafu Machta mentioned now if it's only happening later, right? We said the Hotzos Kafu Machta is happening in the fourth section. So why is it being presented at the end of the Avodas Pnim, right after the Sar and Mishtaleach, before the Elo Ve'el Halam, if it's not happening until afterwards, for sure, according to everybody? So the Ramban says, you know, this is the way of the Psukim, finishing off the topic it was discussing, even though if it only is going to happen afterwards. And I think that the Gur Aryeh is getting at a very similar idea, and I think he just has a clear lashon, which I think is going to work with Shitas HaRamban later. But he says, Hotzos Kafu Machta hi tishlom avodas hayom shel avodas hapnim. So it's just like the leftovers. Lekach kasav iman. So we're going to write it with them. The ena avoda b'fnei atzma. It's not its own avoda. She'ilu hayahotzas akaft umachta avoda miyuchedes hayakosav imkoma. If it was its own avoda and its own distinct avoda, it would have been written in the right place. It's just a leftover from the Torah. So we're going to put it with the avodas pnim. But fundamentally, it's not really it's not so connected to it. If it was its own significant avoda, we would have had it later in the Pesukim. So that is...
Do you have a sense there that he's like investing the Hotzos Kafu Machta with statues as part of the Ketores, or is he just like answering the question?
And he's saying it's not its own avoda, he calls it like... It sounds like very technical in the Gur Aryeh, and I think that's going to emerge also from the Ramban. Again, he's not focusing as much to answer this question, but I think the reason why I'm reading the Gur Aryeh, I think the Gur Aryeh's language here is exactly what the Ramban's going to say about other things relating to the Kafu Machta, and then makes a lot of sense. That fundamentally, this is just like a leftover, so we put it with it. It's not its own significant avodah.
You have the same thing also like the Tum of Begadim after burning the Ivari Avar. Like, is that put at the appropriate, the chronological point? whatever, you're finished with the par, you talk about what happens to the guy, but you're not... You
know. Exactly, yeah. Okay, so to bring us back full circle to where we, you know, where we started at the beginning of the year, the Gra, one of the questions the Gra is trying to answer is exactly this question. We're going to come back to the Gra later in the Chabura, but the Gra says, why is the Kaf Umachta written out of order if it's not here? Because, again, we don't have to review everything about the Gra, because Aaron HaKohen, the rest of the year, was able to enter into the Kodesh Kadashim, and he had to follow the Seder that's written in Achrimos. So he, Aaron HaKohen, the rest of the year, to be able to order in, where you don't have the 5 and the 10, he would have the 3 and the 6, and the last, you know, the last thing he would have to do, and following the order of the Torah, so he would actually do the Hotzos Kaf Machta right after the Sar HaMishtalayach, and therefore the Torah is exactly in order for Aaron HaKohen the rest of the year. So we'll get back to that Gra and the ramifications which later. I just want to set it up now. And finally, there's a third perspective, and I think this emerges from Rashi and the way the Chizkuni quotes Rashi, but I think other Rashis seem to allude to this as well. That fundamentally, the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta, even though practically it's going to be happening later, right? It's only going to be happening in the fourth set, but we want to group it with the Avodas Pnim, the things that are done with the Beit Lavan, because fundamentally, that is the way, what the type of Avoda that it is. So the Chizkuni's language, when he's quoting Rashi, again, Rashi Alef Torah does not sound like this, but Rashi in a couple other places, like Yuma Ayin Beis, Rashi Yuma Lavan Beis, it's going to fit well with the Rav's Mahalach explaining Rashi, which we'll get to in a couple of seconds. But his lashon is mitok kav hadin hayalanu lomer shekan mekomo. It should really fundamentally be here. Kidei sheyu kol avodas pnim bevas achas below shom hefsek shehi gmar avodas hapnimio. So that's the way the Chizkuni is quoting Rashi. Again, Rashi doesn't say that here, but in other places he sounds like that. So we really have these different perspectives. Is it just the leftover, and that's why we're going to be mentioned here? But it's not something which is significant. Then we have the Gra who tells me it's for Aaron Kol Shar Shana, Kol Yimos Hashana, and then we have the Chizkuni Bedas Rashi that fundamentally it's going to be grouped here because it's one of the Avodas Pnims and should be done with Big Day Lava. So that is the end of just the Ha'aras and the Pesukim. But I think that leads into the question of what is the order on Yom Kippur? Do we do the Karban Tamid Shalbein Harabayim before or after the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta? Namely, is the Karban Tamid going to be together in the third tefillah or in the fifth group? So if you look at some of the primary sources, you really get a little bit of mixed evidence. So if you look at the Yerushalmi and Yuma and Zion of Abayis, you have Rabbi Yochanan, who says everyone agrees, Hakol Modim, the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is after the Karban Tamid. Now the Karban Tamid is going to really be in the third section, and then we have the Gemara and Yuma and Lamed Beis, and also maybe Toras Kohanim that seems to indicate that really the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is going to be before the Karban Tamid, and that the Karban Tamid is going to be in the fifth section. The Gemara and Yuma says that there's 5 avodos, right? You have the Tamid Shel Shachar, then the Avodas Hayom, then the Elo Ve'el Ha'am, then the Kaf HaMachta, then the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. So it sounds like from that Gemara that the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim is the fifth Avoda. And this actually is not just in the primary sources. If you look at, again, Amitz Koach and Atav Kunata, which makes a lot of sense, that the Amitz Koach says the Karban Tamid is brought during the fifth section, and is thus after the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta. And Atav Kinanta says that the Karban Tamid is brought during the third section, and thus is before the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta. So already in the different Seder HaVodos, which is going to make a lot of sense, we're going different perspectives whether the Karban Tamid is during the third section, and before the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta, or afterwards. So what do the Rishonim hold? So Rashi consistently assumes that, again, there's a big discussion about the Musafin for Rashi, and we're not going to be getting into that. The Machlokas is Relezer Rabbi Akiva. There's definitely what to talk about, but we're going to have to leave something to the side. So Rashi assumes that the Karban Tamid happens during the fifth section, like the Gemara and Yuma Lamed Beis, and is thus after the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta. On the other hand, the Ramban and the Rambam assume that the Karban Tamid is brought during the third section, like the Yerushalmi, and thus is before the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta. The Minchas Avram, and I saw also he quotes from the Chishek Shlomo and Yuma Daf Ayin, just a third way to slice the Makoros, actually have an interesting suggestion that it depends. He's like, if the Ramban didn't have the suggestion of how to navigate the Makoros, here's what I would suggest. That if the depends on how fast the Kohen Gadol was. If the Kohen Gadol was, you know, he wasn't so fast, so it became the time for the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. So then we offer the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. But if the Kohen Gadol was a little faster. So he already finished the Avodas Hayom. So then, okay, we'll do that Tzos Kafim Achta while we're waiting to do the Karban Tamid, and that's the way the Minchas Avram and the Cheshek Shlomo seem to cut the evidence. It's an interesting perspective that once the Karban Tamid Shalbein Arabayim comes, you have to do it, and you can't wait. And Tzos Kafim Achta is kind of like a stall tactic. It sounds like that a little bit in the Cheshek Shlomo and Yuma Daf Ayin. But that is the way that they navigate the evidence. But how does the Ramban navigate the evidence? The Ramban has an amazing line. You know, it sounds like it's a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But the Ramban points out the Bavli is quoting a Braisa and a Medrash. And the Amarami and the Yerushalmi, they're greater experts than us in the Masnisa Vesifra. They knew about the Medrash, and yet they still didn't ask from it. So it must be that this is not an argument between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, and everyone's going to agree to what the Yerushalmi says, and therefore even the Bavli is going to agree that the Karban Tamid is brought before the Hotzos Kafim Achta. So how does the Ramban understand the Gemara Yuma Daf Lamed Beis? Okay, it says Tamid Shalbeinu Arbayim, last, but it means Mixas Avodas Tamid, the Toras, the Chavitin, the Neros, and the Sachin, but not the Tamid itself. Obviously, the Tamid itself has to go into the third section. So we have three Shitas. We have Rashi versus the Rambam and the Ramban. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to go through Rashi, try and analyze Rashi, and then go through the Rambam, and then get to the Ramban. So how do we understand Shitas Rashi? Right, Rashi is telling me that the Karban Tamid fundamentally has to go, is going to be the last thing that you're done, and it's done after the Hotzos Kafim Achta. So the Rav has two different suggestions for Rashi and the Rambam. Both have in common is the first one is trying to tell you a chiddush about the Hotzos Kafim Achta, and the other one's trying to tell you a chiddush about the Karban Tamid. So for Rashi, the Rav suggests, fundamentally, all the Big Day Lavan have to be done together. You should really be doing all the Big Day Lavan, including the Hotzos Kafim Achta. But the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai tells us we need to have 5 and 10, and thus we have to separate them. But fundamentally, the Hotzos Kafim Achta should be done with the other Avodas Pnim. So we should have to limit that separation, and thus we're only going to allow the Elo ve'el Ha'am, right, that are written in Achrimos, and those are actually considered Avodas Hayom. So the only thing we're able to do between the Hotzos Kafim Achta, which is fundamentally an Avodas Pnim, and the other Big Day Lavan, is the Elo ve'el Ha'am, because those are going to be part of the Avodas Hayom, because they appear in Achrimos. That is the Rav's suggestion, and this fits very well with the Chizkuni that we quoted before, that fundamentally the Hotzos Kafim Achta is considered the Avodas Pnim. It's the Gemara Avodas Pnim. We push it back to the 5 and 10, but we have to try and do our best to limit that separation as much as possible, and therefore we can't do the Karban Tamid, in between the Avodas Pnim and the Hotzos Kafim Achta. We could only do the Elo ve'el Ha'am because they're considered the Avodas Hayom. And this also, you get this impression not just from Rashi, there's a Tosas Yishanim and Yuma and Daf Ayin, and the Russian Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim, who also have a similar line, that we need to do the Hotzos Kafim Achta immediately after the Elo ve'el Ha'am, since you're only pushing it back because of the 5 and 10, and therefore we have to do our best to limit the Hefsek as much as possible, because fundamentally it's going to be a Avodas Pnim. And this actually...
If it wasn't for the Elo ve'el Ha'am, would you do the Kafim Achta before the Elo ve'el Ha'am or after?
Before, because fundamentally it's Avodas Pnim. And we need to move it afterwards to accomplish the 5 and 10, but we need to try and keep that connection as much as possible, and therefore only allow the Elo ve'el Ha'am, which is part of the Seder Avodas Hayom, but not the Karban Tamid. The Karban Tamid, that'd be a hefsek between the Avodas Pnim. That's what's emerging from what the Rav is saying, when I'm quoting Tosi Shadim Yuma Daf Ayin, the Rosh, etc. It actually works very well for Rashi Ramban Lashitaso, that there's a Brisa on Daf Ayin Amid Beis that just says the Elo ve'el Ha'am, and it doesn't say anything about the Hotzos Kafim Achta. And Rashi says, we don't need to mention the Hotzos Kafim Achta because it's so obvious that it needs to be right after the Elo ve'el Ha'am. Again, assuming that there needs to be this connection as close as possible of the Hotzos Kafim Achta to the other avodas panim. In contrast, the Ramban says you don't say hotzos kafa machta, so then you can just do it all, you know, wherever you want. Do it at the end, because why would it need to be after the elol ha'alam? Like, the Ramban doesn't even understand where Rashi is coming from, and we're going to see that it fits really well with the Ramban, what we're going to suggest for the Ramban. But either way, if it emerges from Rashi, this idea that the hotzos kafa machta is something, it sounds like a part of the avodas panim, and therefore fundamentally has to be grouped with the avodas panim, with the exception of the elol ha'alam. A big question which is lying under the surface here, and is extremely, we're not going to fully talk about it right now, is what is considered the Avodas Hayom, right? The Rav is assuming the Elov Alam is considered it because it's mentioned in Afrimos. And we saw the Griz. The Griz has a couple pieces in Avodas Yom Kippurim. The first one that he has, an Aleph Aleph, is making that argument that there's a difference between the Elov Alam versus the Sarah Chattas. And everyone's like trying to pin down what is considered Avodas Hayom, even if it's not in the Big Day Lavan. The Rav on page Kuf Samach Beis, it says maybe even the Sar Chattas, because it needs to be grouped with the other Sayer. And it really, what are some of the Nafka Mina of that idea? It might be something we spoke about earlier in the year, which is, what does the Kohen Gadol have to do? If the Kohen Gadol only has to do things that are relevant to the Avodas Hayom, so what is considered the special Avodas Hayom? You know, the discussion that we had between the Ramban, the Rifka, the Balmor, that whole discussion we had earlier in the year, but we'll leave that as a sign. The Rav's second suggestion for Rashi is that this isn't a din necessarily in the Hotzos Kafa Machta. This is really a din in the Karbat Tumah, that Aleh HaShlein demands that there should be absolutely no avoda after the Karbat Tumah, and therefore the Hotzos Kafa Machta is considered an avoda. So it cannot be after the Karbat Tumah, because since the Hotzos Kafa Machta is an avoda, and you can't do any avoda, not just limit to Haktara after the Karbat Tumah. Therefore, according to Rashi, the Hotzos Kafa Machta needs to precede the Karbat Tumah. The Granag pointed out that might be a problem for Rashi Lishitasa, that Rashi Pesachim seems to indicate by Aleh HaShleim, you know, that it might be limited to things that are Haktara Al Mizbeach and might not apply. But according to the Rav, it's clear what emerges is that even though he's trying to make this a din of Aleh HaShleim, the Rav is bought into the idea of Hotzos Kafa Machta is going to be an avoda. Right? It's going to be an avoda and therefore cannot come after the Karbat Tumah. He says it slightly differently in footnote number 7, and we're going to get back to footnote 7. You know, it makes a special bold in my thing, and because it's a good footnote, is that alternatively you could say, even in this side for Rashi, the Hotzos Kafa Machta isn't itself an avoda, but rather it is part of the talich, it's part of the process of the Torahs, and behaving mi beis laparuches, and as such, since it's part of the process of the Torahs, it needs to be done before the Karbat Tumah, assuming that something that's part of the Torahs would need to be done before the Karbat Tumah. So that is Shitas Rashi that emerges. Both of them assume that really Hotzos Kafa Machta is something which is fundamental, but is it a din and avodas, all the avodas pinim being as close together as possible without a hafsik? Or is it about the Aleh HaShleim, the Karbat Tumah has to be last, no avodah can be done afterwards, yeah.
So would it be, between these two approaches in the Rav,
yeah,
would it be not mitzvah about the Mesafin, when you do the Mesafin?
So it could be, what do you do about the Mesafin, yeah. And the Rav is trying in a bunch of different pieces to pin down exactly the Musafin. Musafin is, like I've referenced before, it's really a big machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer, Daf Ayin. There's a whole nice chart in the art scroll. It gets quite confusing what everyone's going to be, what exactly their opinions are. So I try leaving it on the side, but it's definitely the right question to go of where are the Musafin going to fit? Are they part of the Avodas Hayom? Is it being Dafka and Achrimos? Is it being mentioned at all? What's considered part of the Seder Avodas Hayom? That's what I was referencing before. That might be very related to what you need the Kohen Gadol for, right? Right? Does the Kohen Gadol need the Karbat Tumah? Like, things like that. Yeah. Good? Okay, so let's get back to Shitas HaRambam. So how do you explain the Rambam? So the Rambam disagreed with Rashi and thinks that the Karbat Tumah has to be in the third section. So the Rav also has two suggestions to try and explain the Rambam. So his first suggestion, and it sounds fundamentally, the Rambam and Rashi are on the same team. Really, all the Big Day Lavan have to be together, and the Hotzos Kafa Machta is an avoda, and as such can be it should be next to the Big Day Lavan, but we have the 5:10. But we need to limit the hafsik as much as possible. So we'll have the aisle, which is part of the Seder Avodas Hayom. And not only is the aisle part of the Seder Avodas Hayom, also the Sarachatas as part of the Seder Avodas Hayom. And then once we're doing the Musafin, the Tumah is going to have to be dragged along with the Musafin. Again, it's Tumah and Musafin. They're fundamentally connected. So it's also done during the third set, but not But that it's really becoming part of the Seder Avodah Sayyum, exactly what Rabbi Baron was just asking about a second ago. And now the Rav is extending it beyond the Elo Ve'el Ha'am. And it's also going to include the Sarei Chatas. And not necessarily the Tamid, but the Tamid is going to be dragged along because it has to be done with the Musaf. So that is approach number one for the Rav, that fundamentally Rashi and the Rambam are agreeing about that point. But approach number two is an interesting perspective on Aleha Shleim, that Aleha Shleim is only going to be applied to Avodos that are relevant to the Karbanos on the Mizbeach. Only if it is a Haktarah on the Mizbeach are you going to be subject to Aleha Shleim. And the Rav says, he could have said the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is not an Avodah, and that's why it doesn't have to be on the Mizbeach. But the Rav seems to be gung-ho on the fact that Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is still an Avodah, but everyone's going to agree there's no Hakravas HaKarban of the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta. You're not offering something on the Mizbeach, and thus it can be done after the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, right? Even since it's not going to be Haktara on the Mizbeach, it can be done after the Karban Tamid. The Rav notes that doesn't really fully answer the question, because just because it can be done after the Karban Tamid doesn't mean it has to be done after the Karban Tamid. So why are you doing it after the Karban Tamid? So the Rav develops an interesting idea, again, within the world of Aleha HaShleim, that Aleha HaShleim has two dinim, the second of which is it when something, that the Karban Tamid has to be done immediately after and right away when it can be done. It has to be done right after the Avodas Hayom, and that is subject to not being done after the Karban Tamid. So if something can't be done after the Karban Tamid, it needs to precede it, and then the Karban Tamid needs to follow those things. Thus, by definition, Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is going to be done afterwards, because it doesn't have to be done beforehand, and the Tamid needs to follow. Again, that comes up with an interesting chiddush with Aleha HaShleim, but it really does highlight, like, I need to be mechadish something about Aleha HaShleim, because the Rav really thinks, for the most part, that Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is going to be an avoda, which we'll get back to in a minute. However, it doesn't really necessarily seem to be the most compelling understanding of the Rambam. The Rav already assumes that Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is an avoda, so we're going to try. Later on, Amir Tashem and the Chabura to try and give a different explanation when we return to Shitas Rambam at the end. But how do we explain the Ramban? What's interesting about the Rambam and the Ramban is really they have the exact same Shita, right? They agree about the details, but the way they get there seems to be quite a stark comparison, right? On the one hand, the Rambam, the Rav is explaining, fundamentally is assuming that Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is an Avodah, but you get the opposite impression in the Ramban. So consistently, the Rosenberg likes to point out that that the Ramban is very consistent. The Ramban is a consistent thinker across, and you really do get that impression in the Ramban Ala Torah and his piece in Yuma Daf Ayin. So the Ramban says in the Ramban Ala Torah that the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is done fourth. Why? Again, his Lashon, Lefi She'ina Avodah. We're just trying to make sure you get the 5, the 10, but it's not an avodah, and therefore we'll just push it after the Maisa Hayom. Thus, we can put the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta between the Tamid and the Torahs. Who cares? Because the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is like a leftover. We don't really care about it, so we'll just throw it in. So you could have understood this Ramban as a din and a Aleha HaShleim, like the Rav's second explanation of the Rambam, that you need Torah, but and reject the assumption that Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is an avodah. You could have said something like that, but the Rambans seem to be consistent again in three different lines that he has like this. The Ramban in Yuma Daf Ayin says she'ena avodah u'ma'achron osah la'achra kol u'bavach nekayim b'chamesh tefilos. We're going to push it back because it's not an avodah. Who cares? We just care about the 5 and the 10. And the other line, finally, the Ramban in Yuma Daf Ayin, the ma'achrinim la'lechachila la'achra havodos mishum delesa ela shiari avodah v'chol nekayim b'chamesh tefilos v'asar kedushim kiyam mitzvah. We don't care. It's a leftover. It's not an avodah. So we're just going to push back the Kaf HaMachta. So it's clear that the Ramban seems to be assuming the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta, number one, is not considered inherently an avoda, and it also seems to be it's a leftover, right? It's a leftover that we're going to have, like similar to that Gorari that we said before. It's going to get pushed off to be able to accomplish the 5 and the 10, but fundamentally, it itself is not an avoda. So again, that is section number one. We saw Rashi, we saw the Rambam, and we saw the Ramban. But now that leads to the question, is the Hutzas Kafu Machta considered an Avodah? Right? So we already have seen three possible perspectives, and we're going to speak about the ramifications of which. Right? Number one, we have seen the Ramban, who seems to imply and says explicitly that it is not an Avodah. And then we saw the Rav, who assumed for both Rashi and the Rambam that it is an Avodah. And then we saw footnote 7, right, the grid, Bedas Rambam, or the Bedas Rashi, right, that it's part of the Tahalich of Ketores. Maybe fundamentally it's not its own Avodah, but something a little more complicated, right? It's not an Avodah, it is an Avodah, but maybe it's part of the process of the Ketores and the Haven Yibes La Parochas. That idea we have to develop more, but that is the third possibility.
Are we going to explain what it means for this to be an Avodah?
I think yes. We're going to talk about Nafkaminas right now. So we'll do three, if that's okay. We won't do ten. Three Nafkaminas. So
four Nafkaminas is principle, I assume.
Exactly. So Nafkamina number one, is there a need when you take...
After everybody here in the last day.
What?
They're going after everybody here in the last day.
Yeah. You gotta have your inside jokes. It's good to have built a culture and inside jokes. Okay. So,
I don't know if the goal of that was going to happen
next time. So, Nafkamina number one is there a need to take out the Kaf Umachta with your right hand? Okay? So, the beginning of the discussion really starts in the Gemara. I think this is actually what piqued my interest in the Kaf Umachta, was this Tosas Yishonim. And I filed away in my head and then remembered it later on. So, the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamites says that there is a Machlokas all the way back, if you remember, to the Hagrola. Right, you go with it, I have to take out the two gorals from the kalpi. So does the Kohen Gadol take out both gorolos, one with his right hand and one with his left hand? Or does the Kohen Gadol take one out with his right hand and then the skan, is going to take it out, and I'm prepared to get all upset at me, with his right hand, right? So it's a machlokas whether the Kohen Gadol is taking out both, one with his right, one with his left, or the skan, or both the skan and the Kohen Gadol are taking it out with their right. So the Gemara says that according to the opinion that the skan has to help, the right hand of the skan is better than the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. And according to the other opinion that the Kohen Gadol is going to do it himself, the left hand of the Kohen Gadol is just as good as the right hand of the skan. But what's interesting is the Tosas Yishan. So this Tosas Yishan is quite controversial because there are a lot of questions you could ask, and we're going to suggest some even say it must be a mistake. But the way of learning works is that even if the Tosas Yishan is a mistake, the Gvur Sari and the Mikdash David, who assumed that it wasn't a mistake, then contribute to the record. So the Tosas Yishonim says, why can the Kohen Gadol use his left hand by the Hagrela? It's the same thing as the Hotzos Kafu Machta, where he needs two hands, he needs to take out both of them, so he's going to end up taking out one of them in his left hand. But because he has no choice, the Kohen Gadol needs to do it himself. He has to take out one with his left hand. And therefore, by the Hotzos Kafu Machta, will allow you to use your left hand for one of them. So too here by the Hagrela. But the Tosas Yishonim clearly seems to be assuming that one of them has to be in the right hand. So the way that Tosas Harash says it, when he makes the comparison, he doesn't make the comparison to the Hotzos Kafu Machta. Rather, he makes the comparison to the exact, literally, it's almost identical in the Tosas Yishonim and the Tosas Harash, and they're often very similar. But instead of the Hotzos Kafu Machta, he says the Hachnasas Kafu Machta. When you bring in the Kafu Machta, you need two hands, you gotta carry both, can't hold both in your right. Like we spoke about earlier, the Gemara, that says you take the Kaf in your left hand, the Machta in your right hand, because the Machta is heavier and hotter. So, does Tosas Yishonim really mean the Hachnasas Kafu Machta? A bunch of Achronim seem to be assuming that the Tosas Yishonim must be a mistaken Girsa, it really meant what Tosas Harash said, etc. However, the Gvur Sari and the Mikdash David do not seem to assume that. So the first, the Gvur Sari is upset at the Tosas Yishonim's comparison to Hagrala. I don't understand. Hatzas Kafa Machta, there's a din of Hava Achas Velo Beis Havos, the same way that by the Hachnasas Kafa Machta, there's a din of Hava Achas Velo Beis Havos, so too by the Hatzas Kafa Machta. So you have no choice. You have to bring out one in your right hand and one in your left hand. But not by Hagrala. Hagrala, just take one with your right hand, take it out, and then take it out again. Okay, so that's an interesting point for Hagrala. We'll leave it to the side. Also, he asks, by the Hatzas Kafa Machta, why can't the Kohen Gadol remove both the Kaf and his Machta with his right hand? Again, they're not full anymore. So just take out both in your right hand. But what does the Gvur Zari seem to still be assuming? That there is still a need for Yamin. You need to be doing Yamin for both the Kaf and Machta, so much so that really you should be having both in your right hand. And similarly, the Mikdash David has a suffix. Right, for Hachnasas Kaf Machta, we said the Gemara says, why does the Machta go in your right hand? The Machta goes in your right hand for two reasons, because it's heavier and because it's hotter. So he wonders that by the Hotzas Kaf Machta, the pan is already, the Machta is already cold. So does the Machta still go in your right hand if you only have one of the two reasons? But obviously his question is assuming that you need Yamin for something. It's just whether question whether it's the Kaf or the Machta, you know, the fancy editions of the Mikdash David, the Minchas Mordechai, is like, what's he talking about? Why would you need Yamin? Obviously, this is not an avoda. Like, what's going on here? But he really does seem to be assuming earlier, he does seem to be assuming that you need a Yamin for something, and it's just a question. Is it the Kaf, or is it going to be the Machta? Granted, this might be a you know, like every Navgamina, there's a dual question, like what's the role of the Hachnasas Kaf and Machta, and what are requirements for Yamin versus Smol? That's definitely under the surface here. So you could say, you know, it's really more about having Smol, like the Mikdash David does say, when Hutter Smolo, still, we should try and do the Yamin if you can. He also has an interesting suffix, whether you have certain avodos that aren't Shaykh to Kapara, like Dishan Mizbeach and Menorah, etc. So are these considered avodos gemuros and yet still require and still Smol would be fine? Or are they avodos bifnei atma even without kapara and thus require Yamin? So that's definitely a question that's lurking in the background. But either way, what emerges from the Tosas Yeshanim, the Gvuras Ari, and the Mikdash David is that there's a din of Yamin for Hotzas Kafu Machta. Rav Rosenzweig noted to me on the call that even if you don't require Yamin for Hotzas Kafu Machta, that might not necessarily prove that it's not Avoda. This is going to be a theme of Rav Rosenzweig's, which we'll get to in a couple minutes. But Yamin might be a requirement for something that is much more Maisa oriented. When something is a din in the Maisa, so then it's something when you require Yamin. But that might not be something necessary, which is something which is much more Toelis focused, something which is more effect oriented. So if Hotzas Kaf Machta does not require Yamin, instead, you know, doesn't have that same requirement, that might not be because it's not an avoda. That might only be because it's more, again, just getting out the Kaf Machta rather than the Gachiv of the Gav or Kohen Gadol to take it out. So that is Nafka Mina number one, which is Yamin. Yeah.
Did you have an example of that?
He just said there's like a Grizz, and then I didn't get a chance to really fully look up what he was talking about, but that was an indication. Like he said that unprompted, that even if there would be no requirement of Smol, that's not necessarily a problem. Even though there's no requirement of Yamin, that might not necessarily be a problem. Again, I think I gave good evidence that some really think that there is a din of Yamin, so then it's a moot point. But I was just throwing that as a cherry on top. Okay, so that's Nafka Mina number one. Nafka Mina number two is the Gemara and Yuma on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. So the Gemara is describing the differences between the Machta.
Can I try one more thing?
Yeah.
What would that mean to be an Avodas Totsa?
So I think that we're going to get back to that about Avodas Siluk. That Rosenzweig was like very into this idea that Siluk, again, I don't want to spoil everything, but Siluk is less Gavra focused and it's more Totsa focused. Again, I don't know enough about the Truma Sadasha because we kept skipping it. But I assume something like that is based on evidence by things like that.
Okay, meaning like the negative outcome of having this outcome.
Right, it just needs to get out rather than the Kohen Gadol needing to take it out. Yeah.
Result.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's the argument that he's going to be making. Okay, that's Nafka Mina number one. So it seems that there might be even a Din of Yamin. Obviously, if you think that there's no Din of Yamin, the Achronim also point out, you say it's a Talas Sofer, like, there's also the problem, like, you could have just given the example of Hachnasas Kafu Machta, even if there is a requirement. Like, why would you go to the example that's not in the Gemara versus in the Gemara? But we'll leave that to the side. So Nafka Mina number two is Chatzitza. So the Gemara Yuma Daf Nimdalam Beis is describing the differences between Machta and Yom Kippurim, and the Machta during the rest of the year, and has a lot of interesting differences. But one of the differences, I don't know how to pronounce the word, you apologize, Bechol Yom Lo Havalei Nishtik, and on Yom Kippur it had a Nishtik. So the question is, what is a Nishtik? I don't even know how to pronounce it. So Rashi said it's like this ring on top that shook and made noise for Nivinishma Kolo Bevlo. However, Tosfos there quotes the Yerushalmi that it was actually some type of nartake, so he didn't get burned. And the Riva explains that there was like a cover on the handle to hold onto and not get burned. But why did he need it more on Yom Kippur? You might get burned every other day of the week. Why do you need a handle on the Machta more on Yom Kippur than any other day? And he has the line that on Yom Kippur, the Gecholim are going to sit there for a longer time, and you're going to take it out. And he uses the Lashon of for the avoda of the Hotzas Kafu Machta, and therefore you're going to have This hand. But that... What?
Who is this?
This is Tosas and Yuma on Daf Mandala Nama Base. So the Yerushalmi asks... Again, that was the Riva. So the Yerushalmi asks, shouldn't this be a chatzitza? And there, an answer is, oh, there were nails attached to it which made it like Guf HaMachta. But Tosas seems to be assuming that there can't be a chatzitza on the Hotzalas Kaf on the Machta, because that would be a problem for the Avoda of the Hotzalas Kaf and Machta, seemingly implying that there is a need to, again, this could be a chatzitza question, but that there is some type of Avoda of Hotzalas Kaf and Machta. So those are Nafkamina number one, Yamin, Nafkamina number two is chatzitza.
You can say that you need the nails so that you can bring it in, and you need the coverings.
Right, but the Tosas clearly seems to indicate that the point of having the handle is for the Hotzah's Kafa Machta.
Once you have a handle, now with another Chatzitza from Achnasa, so...
Right, exactly. That could be the way to teach it, but he didn't have to say it the way they did it. If you look up the Lashon over there, again, I could go back, look it up inside, it sounds like he's calling Hotzah's Kafa Machta an Avodah. Okay, Nafkamina number...
So he says...
Yeah.
He says you... What was the exact line of the
Hotzah's Kafa Machta? Yeah, I'll read it to you. What the hell if I said it was Nabdal on the base? One of the avodas, which is taking out the kafu machta. It is a little bit of a funny line, but it seems to say again, Shahayu Gacholim Shon Bamachta is Man Maruba, Ad Shahay Sechama Harbe, Veshuv Motziosa, She Achas Mehavodos, Hotzah's Kafu Machta. So the Avodos is slightly strange, but he seems to be assuming that Hotzah's Kafu Machta is an Avoda, and then right after that he asks, what about Chatzitza? Right, so it's implying that the need for to not have Chatzitza is because the Hotzah's Kafu Machta is one of the Avodos.
Also, those seems like it's right when they're thinking
it. What?
Also, that seems like it's so hot and sick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's
against the. Yeah,
this is a bit of a Matthias point. In other words, one could say that the handle is dafka hotter at the time of Hotzah than the time you bring it in.
Right, but he does seem to...
When you bring it in, it's like fresh, but the time it's hot.
I don't think you need to say that there's...
And then you just say that the chatzitza problem is when you bring it in.
Right, you could say that, but he threw in that extra line.
That's what I was trying to line.
Exactly. So again, that wasn't my idea. I think the fancy footnotes in the Gruas Ari, but he didn't even get into the fancy footnotes. He made you look in the back of the sefer, so they point out that maybe the Gruas Ari is assuming like that Tosos, and that's why he requires Yemen. But therefore, there's going to be a chatzitza. So that's Nafkamina number two is chatzitza. Nafkamina number three, and this is definitely a very interesting one, is we referenced it before, there's a need for Big Day Lavan when you do the Hotzalas Kaf HaMachta. It's quite strange. You know, we put on the Big Day Lavan for the morning, and that makes a lot of sense. We spoke about it at length in Rabbi Goldstein's Chabur earlier in the year. But for the Hotzalas Kaf HaMachta, they're going to need the Big Day Lavan. So the Yerushalmi has an interesting line, which asks, Lama B'Big Day Lavan? Why do we have the Big Day Lavan? So some, including the Karban Eida and the Granag, are saying that the Gemara is talking about, why do we wear the Big Day Lavan at all? Right? Why do we wear the Big Day Lavan? It's not just talking about the Hotzalas Kaf HaMachta. It's talking about all Avodas Yom Kippurim, and they stop talking about Hotzalas Kaf HaMachta. This is really just a question about the Big Day Lavan in general. However, the Pesei Moshe Zer Al Atar says that the question is limited and specific to the Hotzalas Kaf HaMachta. And he says, why should he wear Big Day Lavan if the Hotzalas Kaf HaMachta is not considered an avoda? Right? He even has the crazy havamina that you would wear Big Day Chol into the Kodesh Kadashim, because it's so not an avoda. So just like Kriyas HaTorah, you could... The Kriyas HaTorah, which could have been my sugya if I would have said yes, but I rejected it because I didn't want to, is not an avoda, and you can wear what you want, which is definitely a big question. So too, just wear regular Big Day Chol into the Kodesh Kadashim, and that is why. But he's clearly highlighting why would we only ask about the Kaf HaMachta is because it is not an Avoda. Again, this is an interesting read in the Yerushalmi. It's just like, you know, Goldstein read it the other way, for good reason. But on the other hand, the last few lines of the Yerushalmi, like the Amar of Yochanan and the Seder Hayom, were all about the Kaf HaMachta. They were all discussing the Hotzalas Kaf HaMachta. So it actually flowed very nicely. It's also ironic.
What's the Yerushalmi's answer then?
So I'm going to get Yerushalmi's answer in a second. It's awesome just making Ha'arin the question still. But it's also interesting, and like we also had Rabbi Lezer there, who gives you one of the best lines in like, what's his Chiddush, we asked when we were looking at the Yerushalmi. We already know the order, we already said it. The other opinions. But he uses the line, Yesh lecha avoda acheras shu ovda bevigdi lovan, as in reference to Hotzos Kafa Machta. So one of the best lines that you're going to be getting about Hotzos Kafa Machta being an avoda that's done in the Bigdi Lovan is in that Yerushalmi two lines earlier. So it's just, it would make a lot of sense on the, you know, to connect it to the Kafa Machta. At the same time, it's quite ironic when you have one of the better lines of the Kafa Machta being an avoda in Bavli ben Yerushalmi, and making it's not an avoda. So it'd be pushing back on that. It's very interesting. But the Gemara's answer is, you know, kisheris lamala, kach sheris lamata, that just like the ish badim, you know, the person who's wearing the badim in Cheskel, wore the big day lavan. So too, we are going to have a sheris lamata. So the obvious question, which Rabbi Goldstein is already alluding to, is it's nice that Pnei Moshe has this Havamina, that Hotzos Kafa Machta is not an avodah, and therefore, why would you even wear a Big Day Lavan? But what happens Lamaskana, right? What is the Gemara's answer? So there's two possibilities that you could say, right? You could say that from the fact you wear the Big Day Lavan, now it is an avodah, and that's why you're wearing the Big Day Lavan. Alternatively, it might not, it still, it will remain not an avoda, but you're wearing the bivdei lavan because you're going lifnai v'lifnim. And that's really what the Pnei Moshe sounds like. Again, we could give a whole other type of shir on the pasuk in Yecheskel and taking out Hashem's presence. We'll leave that to Rabbi Zak and others, and Rabbi Lichtner, maybe you'll prepare something over the summer for us. But it's definitely an intriguing idea, and the Pnei Moshe would be your bucker to start with, right? That it's about, you're going lefnai v'lifnim, so therefore, and taking out Hashem's Shekhinah, so therefore you need to be wearing the Big Day Lavan. But it sounds like the Pnei Moshe is going to assume, even the Maskana, that you're wearing the Big Day Lavan, okay, it's a Gderes HaKasav, counting Hashem's Shekhinah, but fundamentally, the Hotzos Kafa Machta is not going to be given a vote. So that's the Yerushalmi. However, again, the next couple of minutes will be a repeat from earlier for Rabbi Goldstein's Chabura, I apologize. But we have the Mishnah and Yuma and Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. So the Mishnah and Yuma and Daf Lamed Aleph Beis, number one, tell you we wear the Big Day Lavan both in the morning and the afternoon. However, there's different clothes that you're going to be wearing in the morning and the afternoon. There's different sets of the Big Day Lavan. But the Mishnah notes that the Big Day Lavan in the afternoon is less expensive than the Big Day Lavan in the morning. Like, you're going to wear less, they have to equal 30, but you have to make sure that the morning one is more expensive than the afternoon. As a side note that we're going to get back to, the Rambam Klei HaMikdash Ches Gimel drops that requirement. It seems to say they need to equal a certain number, and is not going to mention the requirement that the morning begadim need to be more expensive than the afternoon. The Mishnah Melech over there, you know, is bothered. Why does the Rambam not mention that requirement? It's also not mentioned by Torah's Kohanim. But you know, if you would need to wear cheaper garments in the afternoon, obviously that might highlight that, again, is this not an avoda, or it's a lower level of avoda, that something is going on. And the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Hey says, how do we know that the begadim in the morning are more expensive? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, bad, which teaches muvchar babad. And then the Gemara has an interesting havamina, which we won't get really so into, from the pasuk in Yecheskel, which says v'lovshu begadim acherim, which Rashi proves is talking about Yom Kippur, and assumes that the acherim are actually chashuvim. So the Gemara has a havamina that the begadim in the afternoon are actually going to be more chashuv than the begadim in the morning. Okay, the Riffle says, Ma'alim Kodesh Maridim, things like that. But the Gemara answers, no, that Achirim doesn't mean more Chashuv, and it really means Pechutz. And like the Gemara originally assumed, that the morning ones are going to be nicer than the afternoon. And Rashi Al-Attar, on Laman HaMabez, Devar HaMaskel Lo, says, why is it going to be different? Because the first Avoda is Chashuva and Micha Peres. This latter one, however, is only to clean the place. It's not respectful for it to remain there. And therefore, the Pasuk writes, Begadim, when you're switching Begadim Achirim, it must mean inferior. So, on the one hand, the Rashi seems to be downplaying the Hotzos Kafa Machta by saying that these are more, you know, it's just to clean the place. On the other hand, again, his Lashon, I should have taken out my Gemara and written it in, but his Lashon is, so it sounds like both are an avoda, but one is an avoda that's a mecha peres, and more, therefore more chashuv. And the other one, it sounds like, is still an avoda. And again, we're going to get back to this in Rashi in a couple minutes, but it might be something which is a little more complex, and therefore it's not going to be as chashuv. It's just about ensuring that there's no mess. and therefore you're going to wear less inferior begatim. Then there's another Gemara on the same daf, on Yuma Lamed Hamed Beis, that says after the Avodas Tzibur is over, the Kohen's mother made him clothes, you know, some people's mothers just visited, so he wore clothes, and he makes Bessel clothing to be Ovi Ba Avodas Yachid, so he could serve Avodas Yachid, some Avodas Yachid, but as long as Shishim Serena Letzibor, and we're not going to get into Shishim Serena Letzibor, even though there seems to be interesting evidence in that. The question that I want to focus on is, what is the Avodas Yachid? So Rashi has two possibilities. His second, which he says he heard but rejects, is that it's referring to the Kriyas HaTorah, which would, again, sorry, I chose a different route. But Rashi doesn't like that pshat, because the Mishnah never says the requirement by the Kriyas HaTorah that you have to give those clothes to the Tzibor. It only says it earlier. So Rashi doesn't think that's the pshat. Rashi thinks that Avodas Yachid is going to be referring to the Kaf HaMachta. Because the Kaf HaMachta isn't necessary for the Kapara of the Tzibor. Rather, it's incumbent on the Kohen Gadol to clean the place. The place is dirty. The Kohen Gadol has to clean it. And therefore, it's going to be called an Avodas Yachid because this is just the Kohen Gadol's Avoda. Rav Rosenthal wanted to connect this idea, and I'm going to get back to developing this idea a little bit more in a minute. That maybe Avodas Yachid might be something which we're going to call Avodas Siluk, and which I already alluded to is more Totsah focused than Maisa focused. There's a mess. Clean it up. Yeah, 1 second. And that might be why we're calling Totsah's Kaf HaMachta an Avodas Yachid. But it's still an Avoda, but it's an Avodas Yachid. Yeah.
Is Avodas Yachid because it's coming on him since he made the mess?
Right, it sounds like that. It sounds like there's a mess and you're the one who made the mess. Clean up the mess. So I'm saying that could be understood technically that it's like not a chash of avoda at all. But
somehow the Kohen Gadol died and you need a second one in the middle.
Okay.
So again,
how much are you focusing on him making the mess versus now there is a mess? It's definitely something you could wonder.
If there's a mess and we don't want the mess in the Kohen Gadol.
Correct. So it's based on your question, in your Hechitim, so it would be, I'm saying that the second Kohen Gadol should take it out. Even though Rashi might not sound like that, but it's an interesting test case. It's a great, Rosenzweig likes to call that type of question a great Minchas Kinas type of question. And it's not, you know, knocking the Minchas Kinas. It's very creative and clever. Rabbi Baron always asks great questions. Okay. So that is Rashi. But the Me'iri there says, what is Avodas Yachid? It's referring to the Nedarim and Nedavos. It's not referring to anything, the Avoda of Yom Kippurim, because all of Avodas Yom Kippurim is an Avodas Tzibor. Right, nothing on Yom Kippur can be qualified and classified as an Avodas Yachid. Everything needs to be considered an Avodas Tzibur, so it must be referring to Nedarim and Nedavos. And again, he's more focused on the details of how you give it over to the Tzibur, which we're going to leave to the side for a second. But what emerges is really these different perspectives within the Big Day Lavan. You have the Pnei Moshe, it's not an Avoda. You have the Rashi, Avodas Yachid, and maybe trying to walk this fine line. It's not Kapara, but it might still be considered an Avoda. On the other hand, the Me'iri who might sound like, no, it's like a full-fledged Avoda to be able to, that everything that is considered, you know, an Avodas Yom Kippurim, and it therefore cannot be referring to the Hotzah's Kaf HaMachta. Okay, so those are our questions. Again, is it an Avoda? Is it not an Avoda? Something a little more complex. Our three Nafkaminas, which we gave, which was Yamin, Chatzitza, and the Big Day Lavan. So now I want to go to the third section, which is the Shinoi Seder Havoda. And our big question for this section is whether the Hotzah's Kaf HaMachta is a part of the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim. Is it subject to Chukah, right? Is it considered a part of the Seder? And also, is it going to be subject to Chukah? So I just want to give a little bit of background information just to set up the question so we can appreciate a little bit more. So we have a Mishnah in Gemara and Yuma and Daf Samach, which has the Machlokas, which we've quoted numerous times, between Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemiah. Right? What does Chukah apply to? Rabbi Yehuda holds Chukah only is going to apply to the Big Day Lavan Bifnim. Right? Only that is subject to Chukah. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, that's not limited to the Big Day Lavan Bifnim, even the Big Day Lavan Bachutz. Both are going to have Chukah. But both are coming from Chukah. Rabbi Yehuda says, just the Big Day Lavan Bifnim. Rabbi Nechemiah is going to say, both Pnim and Chutz, as long as it's in the Big Day Lavan. However, they're going to agree that Chukah does not apply to the Big Day Zav. So a question which we saw is there a third Shita? Again, we saw that the Gvur Sari, in typical fashion, has a Havamina, that yes, but rejects it, because, you know, when Yehuda says, Eim Asai across Shas, obviously he's not, he's not giving his own answer. He's giving he's qualifying, and therefore must be he's not there's not a third shita that's going on over here. I apologize to Shargazaria for making fun of him. Hopefully he'll be mochel me even if the levush wasn't mochel him. But the Ramban, however, and we saw I saw the Rebbe Milunil, I believe.
Dalfa.
Okay. So the Ramban and the Rebbe Milunil, however, assume, and that's clear, that there is a Tanakama. Right? There's actually three opinions. There's a third opinion who holds that not only does Chukah apply to all the Big Day Lavan, it even applies to the Big Day Zahav. Okay, this was just helpful for me in my preparation, because I don't know about you, I literally was on the phone with the Rosh Hashanah, so I got a mental block. Which way is Rashi and which way is the Rambam for the Rosh Chaim, and which one's a problem with which? I don't know why I have a big problem with it. So for those who struggle like that with me, I'll try and give just a 2-minute introduction. We had the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Mem, right? The Gemara in Yuma had a Havamina that doing the Matnos to Paroches first would be Ma'akev, the Matnos on the Kaporas, and then it has the Maskana that the Matnos to Mizbeach before the Matnos to Paroches is not Ma'akev. So the way that Rav Chaim lines it up, just according to Rashi, that if you do Pnim, an Avodas Pnim, before Avodas Chutz, that is not an issue. But if you do an Avodas Chutz before Avodas Pnim, for example, the Mizbeach, before the Parochas, Matnos Parochas, whatever, etc., that would be a problem. But the Rambam, according to Rav Chaim, would say the opposite, that doing an Avodas Pnim before an Avodas Chutz is an issue, but doing an Avodas Chutz before an Avodas Pnim is not a problem. Okay, I realize.
Say one more time.
According to Rashi, if you do an Avodas Pnim before an Avodas Chutz, that is not a problem of Chukah. If you do an Avodas Chutz before Avodas Pnim, that is a problem. According to the Rambam, it's the opposite. That if you do Avodas Pnim before an Avodas Chutz, that is a problem. But if you do Avodas Chutz before Avodas Pnim, that is not a problem. So what really blows everything up for the sugya is the shita of Rashi. Rashi is going on an innocuous line in the Gemara, as the Rishonim point out, that if you change the order in the Big Days Of, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chaim agree about. So you could have given any example of just doing a Big Days Of before a Big Days Of, but Rashi does not do that. Rashi says, what's the example about Big Days Of Bachutz that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah agree to? It's if you did the Hotzos Kafu Machta before the Ilov El Ha'am, and that would not be Ma'akiv, the Hotzos Kafu Machta. That is the opinion of Rashi, that if you do the Hotzos Kafu Machta before the Ilov El Ha'am, that is not Ma'akiv, the Hotzos Kafu Machta. So we're going to break down, like, really three different types of questions on Rashi, and try and develop certain ideas. So the Rashash Alatar, and again, Yuma Daf Samach, is so bothered by Rashi. He's like, what psul is relevant to the Hotzos Kafu Machta? It's obvious, if you didn't take out the Kafu Machta, that's not Ma'akiv Kapara. Okay, you didn't do the Kafu Machta. What, that's going to be Ma'akiv all the Kapara of Yom HaYos Kippur? What does it mean, then, that it's going to be, would have been Ma'akiv the Hotzos Kafu Machta? Also, practically, how would you fix your mistake? You did it before the Eloha Elam. So what are you going to do? You're only going to go back. You're going to go back in and take it out again after the Eloha Elam. He's like, if you do that, that you should be chayav for a bir rekanis. Like, that makes absolutely no sense. It's so not necessary. What's done is done. You know. So the Mikdash David also has a similar line to the Rashash in Siman Chav Dalet, and he says, you know, you can't fix the Hotzos Kafu Machta. It's not if you did it early. That's not relevant to kashrus and paslus. Like, what does that even mean? However, the Chazon Ish in Or HaChaim, Kuf Chaf Zayin Aleph, has the Havamina, number one, that if the Hotzos Kafu Machta is Ma'akiv, if you don't do the Hotzos Kafu Machta, and therefore if you lost them, if you lost the Kafu Machta somehow, I don't know how that happens, you know, you only left it in one place. It's like when you leave your phone somewhere and you know it's in your house, so like where could it be? But apparently you lost the Hotzos Kafu Machta, the Kafu Machta, you would have to redo the Avoda and bring the par and sar and redo the whole Avoda Sayom. And that it's really going to be ma'akev. And similarly, if you did the Hotzos Kafu Machta before the Elov El Ha'am, it could be that would posel the entire Avodah. That's the Chazon Ish's Havamina. Again, I'm not going to go as far as the Chazon Ish, but it could be that Rashi doesn't have to go as far as the Chazon Ish, but does assume that there's some kiyum that is lacking in the hotzas kafu machta. And if you don't, if you do the early, in theory, it could have been that you would be missing that special kiyum, which we'll discuss in a minute. The Minchas Avram has a bunch of clever suggestions. What would have been the psul? You know, what according quotes the Griz b'shem or Menachem Zemba. Maybe it would be, you know, since these are different big day lavan, maybe they need geniza. Also, maybe you would, again, be a reconnaissance. It should be, if you did it out of order, you should get malchus for going in. Does a czar who does it get malchus? All these clever enough communities, you could look at the Minchas Avram for some. But that is, you really see a divergence of, on the one hand, between, you know, someone like the Rosh Hash and the Mikdash David, who seem to be assuming, like, what on earth is going on? There's no psul, there's no kiyam in the Hotzos Kafamachta. But Rashi, on the other hand, seems to assume that there might have been some type of Hotzos Kafamachta if it wasn't just based on the dinim of Chukah, that Big Day Zav are not included in Chukah, which we'll get back to in a second. The Ramban, however, asks a simpler question on Rashi, which is the Tosefta in Yuma. So the Tosefta in Yuma, in Gimel Dalet, says, you know, it quotes that line that if you change the order of Yom Kippurim, you haven't done anything, but there's an exception. And the exception to the rule is Hotzos Kafu Machta. So it sounds like Hotzos Kafu Machta is not subject to changing the order. Right, and then he quotes that Brisa and Yuma Daf Ayin that doesn't mention Kafu Machta, which we alluded to before, and that's where the Ramban calls it a Shayer Hevoda. But then this is where the Ramban says his Shita of the Tanakama, that the Tanakama who holds, there is a Tanakama who holds that if you change the order of the Big Day Zahav, you are subject to Chukah. And he says, even according to Tanakama, who thinks that if you change the order of the Big Day Zahav, that would be a problem of Chukah, the rule of Chukah is limited to Avodos. Right, it's limited to avodos, but for Hotzos Kafu Machta, he has the line, Ein ba muktam u'mocher. It doesn't matter when you do it, it's a shiari avoda, it's a leftover, we don't care, it's nothing. So just do it whenever you want, it's not a problem you do it too early, it's not a problem you do it too late, but either way, he's quoting, again, against Rashi from the Tosefta, and asking from the Tanakama, that what are you talking about, Hotzos Kafu Machta might have been ma'akev. Rashi might respond, however, that Hotzos Kafu Machta is some type of avoda. And if there really was a Tanakama, according to Rashi, right, Rashi might not agree to the Ramban, but theoretically, if there was a Tanakama, obviously the Kappa for the Elov Elam would be an issue, because it is subject to Chukah. The only reason it's not is because he's with Yen Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, who assume that the Big Day Zav are not subject to Chukah. But if Big Day Zav were subject to Chukah, it sounds like Hotzos Kafu Machta would be an example of Chukah. So therefore, the Griz has a yesod, which I love, for the Ramban. But the Griz then goes on to explain it to Rashi. And I think he takes it a little too far, right? We know that the Gemara in Yuma Lama Beis says the Hotzos Kafu Machto is out of order. And the reason we need to do it out of order is so you wouldn't have the 5 and the 10. And that leads the Griz to his yesod. Again, this is a good example of the test case of what the Griz's goal is. He's not asking a question. He just has a yesod. But he says that as a result of being said out of order in the Parsha, the Hotzos Kafu Machta is not included in the requirement of Yom Kippurim needing to be done ala Seder based on Chukah. There's no Seder when it comes to Hotzos Kafu Machta. Chukah is limited to things that are said al HaSeder in the Parsha. Since the Kafu Machta is out of order, no Chukah, no din of Seder. And the Griz says this explains the Tosefta, that the Hotzos Kafu Machta is going to be the exception. And explains the Ramban ala Torah, who says we put the Hotzos Kafu Machta after the Tumin, because it's not an Avoda. It's after the Maaseh Yom, as long as you have the 5 and the 10. Because who cares about it, right? There's no din of Seder to the Kafu Machta. This also fits with the Ramban in Yuma, right? And Daf Ayin, who says the Hotzos Kafu Machta don't have an order, we just care 5 and 10. Do you have 5 and 10? So don't talk to me about the order of the Kafu Machta, because fundamentally the Griz is saying there is no din of Seder and Chukah when it comes to the Kafu Machta. And the Griz just makes a, you know, maybe the Ramban goes a little too far. We spoke about this a little bit in Seder, that the Ramban thinks that there's no order even l'charchila. You could just do it whatever you want, as long as you have the 5 and 10. But on that Nekuda, the Griz says, Sarachim. He's not sure he wants to go that far. But he also says then that this is going to apply to Rashi. Because there's a Rashi that says that we need to, you know, have the El Ha'am, the Elov El Ha'am, to be mafsik to enable the 5 and the 10. So he says, oh, it must be that there's Halacha Moshe Messina, you have to have the 10, and therefore that's going to necessitate the break of the Elov El Ha'am between the Avodas Pnim and also between Hotzos Kafu Machta. And therefore, there's no din of chukah, no din of seder, even according to Rashi. And the Griz works extremely well with the Ramban, right? He's calling it not an avoda, no din of seder, no din of chukah, and that makes even for the Tanakhama, right, as the Ramban said. But it doesn't seem to work as well with Rashi, right? Everything we've been developing in Rashi. Number one, the fact that Rashi gives the Hotzos Kafu Machta before the Elol Ve'el Ha'am as an example. And our approach from before, the Rav Bedas Rashi and the Chizkuni Bedas Rashi, that fundamentally Hotzos Kafu Machta has a Seder. It's supposed to be linked as part of the Avodas Pnim, but we have no choice because of the 5 and the 10, and therefore we're going to push it back afterwards. But still, we want to keep that connection to the Avodas Pnim as much as possible, and that's why in the Torah it's going to be mentioned there, and that's why we're not going to put the Tamid there, because we're really trying to link it, so it really does sound, according to Rashi, that there is still some din of chukah for the Kafu Machta. And even if you disagree with my read for Rashi, there seems to be a couple of Achronim who seem to be against the Griz. So the Mikdash David, after he says that line, which we noted before, about which connected to the Rashash, again, also in Simen Chavdala, says, let's say you do a different avoda before the Hotzos Kafu Machta. So it's not doing the Hotzos Kafu Machta before something else. Rather, it's a different avoda before the Hotzos Kafu Machta. He says, that is not a problem of chukah. Why? Not because the Hotzos Kafu Machta is not a problem of chukah, but rather because the Tamid Uktores are not a problem of chukah. Right, Tam and Uktores are not a problem of chukah. They would still be kosher if you did them out of order, and therefore it'd still be kosher. But fundamentally, he's clearly still assuming that the Hotzos Kafu Machta is subject to chukah. It just assumes that, okay, the Tam and the Musafin aren't, so therefore it won't be Ma'aki of the Tam and the Musafin. But the Kafu Machta, on the other hand, it does seem that it would be, in theory, subject to chukah. And the Minchas Avram points out from the Gra we quoted in the beginning of the Chabura, right, that the Gra says that Kol Yemos Hashana, where it's 3 and 6 instead of 5 and 10, he needs to do the Avodos Al HaSeder in Chumash. So that shows that Shar Yemos Hashana, there is a din of Seder, that Hotzos Kafu Machta is part of the Seder, and you could question whether that carries over to Yom Kippur or not, but it seems like fundamentally the Gra is assuming that Hotzos Kafu Machta is included in the order and then just gets pushed back, like what we were trying to suggest for Rashi to enable to accomplish the 5 and 10. But there's another type of question that's asked on Rashi, and that's the Rivaz question on Rashi, and this is going to lead us to, again, Rav Rosenzweig's approach. The Rivaz, quoted by Tosas Yeshanim on Daf Samach and Tosas HaRash on Daf Samach, has the question. One second. You're doing the Hotzos Kafu Machta before the Elo Ve'el Ha'am. So that is an Avodas Big Day Lavan Bifnim. Out of order. So whether you're like Yehuda, Reb Nechemiah, that should be a problem. That should be ma'akev. Just like if you did the par de heichal before the sar de pnim that we quoted on Dachmem. So too, over here, we should say that there should be a problem of chukah if you did the hotzos kafu machta before the elo ve'ela. So someone like the Ramban would be like laughing. Like, what are you talking about? Chukah, seder, when it comes to hotzos kafu machta? Obviously, that if you did the Hotzos Kafu Machta before the Elo Ve'elam, that's not going to be ma'akiv. This is an avoda. There's no din of Seder and chukah, like the Griz said.
Didn't Rakhine say that is definitely the case where it's going to be a problem?
Exactly.
Okay.
No, that's not going to be a problem. According to Rashi.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. So, hold that point. So, Tosas Yeshanim, in his first suggestion, says, and I think also Tosas Rash, says, doing an avoda schutz, only doing a chutz, before a pnim is an issue. But a pnim before, like Hotzos Kafu Machta, before a chutz is not an issue. So therefore this is a pnim before chutz, and therefore it's not ma'akiv. But this does seem to maintain the assumption of the question that Hotzos Kafu Machta is a full-fledged avoda that's going to be part of the Seder, and it's going to follow the normal rules of what's chukah and what's not. Right? And it's just because, like the same way other big day lavan, if you move them too early before an avodas chutz, that's not ma'akev. So too by the Hotzos Kafu Machta. And this does seem to be, as Yair pointed out a second ago, exactly like Rashi, right? Like Rashi assumed earlier that if you do a pnim before a chutz, that's not a problem, like as understood by Rav Chaim. So what would Rashi say about the flip case, right? That if you did a big day zaha before avodas pnim, maybe like the same way Rashi we said for the Tanakhama, the phantom Tanakhama, in theory, you know, that would be a problem of chukah and seder. So too here, if you did a avodas chutz before an avodas pnim, Rashi would also agree. And that's why he's giving you the example of a pnim before a chutz. That's Tosas Yeshanim's first suggestion. Tosas Yeshanim's second suggestion is Hotzos Kafu Machta isn't chamura, is his word, since it's not for kapara, and chukah is limited to things that have kapara. The Ritva has a very similar answer, that hotzos kafu machta is different because it's an avodas siluk, which we'll get to in a second, and not for kapara, and chukah is limited to things that are for kapara. So again, the Tosfos Yeshanim says it's not an avoda chamura. It sounds like it's still an avoda for Tosfos Yeshanim. Also, the Ritva sounds like it's an avoda siluk. But they're saying that chukah and seder depend on kapara. So even if you're an avoda, as long as you're not an avoda's kapara, so then you're not going to be subject to seder. But Rosenzweig noted that these could be, I asked him, do you think there's really a difference between, you know, when I learned this with Rabbi Goldstein Shlita, he said there's not a difference between the two. So I was curious. I thought there was a difference between the two. So I asked Rav Rosenzweig, and he said, obviously there's a difference between the two. Between Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva. Because you could have said, again, the Ritva does not say this, and we clarified this afterwards. The Ritva doesn't say this. You could have said, what does chukah depend on? That maybe according to the Ritva, you could have said, the Ritva does not say this, if something is an avoda siluk, so then that, by extension, is not subject to chukah. Maybe chukah is limited to things which are a maisa avoda, things that focus on the action, and instead of things that are just result-oriented, avoda siluk, he does not say that. But Rosenzweig was very intrigued by the possibility of saying something like that, and maybe chukah is going to be limited to things that are action-focused instead of avoda siluk. But the Ritva does definitely identify it with kapara. And the Ritva really doubles down on this. He says, why did Rashi give me the example of the Elovel, the Kafu Machta in the first place? He could have just given me any big days off. He said that Rashi was trying to teach us that Hotsa's Kafu Machta is an avodas siluk, and therefore is not going to be included in chukah.
So, can we clarify what we're wrong about?
We can talk afterwards. I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. I don't want to get...
It's on the recording, okay?
It's on the recording.
For the record.
We could keep the recording going afterwards, after 12:30, but I have to be... I have 10 minutes. So just, again, to revisit our bigger question, is avodas... Hatzas Kafamachta part of the Seder or and Chukah or not? So we have the Griz Bidas Haramban that it's definitely not part of the Seder. It's not an Avoda. Obviously, it's not part of the Seder and Chukah. Then we have Tosfos Yeshanim 2 and the Ritva that it's not part of the Seder, even though it's an Avoda or an Avoda Siluk, because it doesn't have Kapara, and Kapara is the what's Koveya for Chukah. And then we have the Gra, Tosfos Yeshanim number 1, the Mikdash David, perhaps Rashi, that Hotzos Kaf Umachta is part of the Seder, either because it's a full-fledged Avoda, or perhaps because it's an Avoda Siluk, and an Avoda Siluk is enough to be part of Chukah. That is where we are right now. So that we've, again, covered our big three questions. But now I just want to take the last couple minutes that I have and try and develop this idea of Avoda Siluk, and then perhaps just end with my own idea. I will try and be quick and end on time. So the Ritva calls the Hotzos Kafu Machta an Avodas Siluk. So where is he getting that language from? So there's a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Chavdalid that has a machlokas between Rav and Levi about the Chi of Misa for a Zar. And Rav says it's limited to specific things, the Dalai Vol is included, etc. But Levi adds Trumas Hadeshen, right? Levi adds the taking out of the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Gemara ends up having this whole discussion, the Mudim, etc. for Levi, but basically has an interesting limud that, according to Levi, an Avodas Siluk in the Heichal has a Chi of Misa for a Zar, but an Avodas Siluk in the Kodesh Kadashim does not have a Chi of Misa. That is limited to an Avodas Matana. That is what the Gemara says according to Levi. So what is Avodas Siluk in the Kodesh Kadashim? Rashi there says, it must be referring to the Hotzos Kaf Amachta. What else are you doing that's an Avodah taking out of the Kodesh Kadashim? So much so that the Minchas Avram says, based on this Gemara that calls Hotzos Kaf Amachta an Avodah Siluk, it can't be that the Ramban means what he says, that Kaf Amachta, Hotzos Kaf Amachta is not an Avodah, because the Gemara calls it explicitly an Avodah Siluk. It must mean, the Ramban means, it's not a unique Avodah to Avodah Yom Kippur. And that's the Minchas Avram's suggestion. But leaving that question on the side, I would just want to develop, what does really this idea of Avodah Siluk get at? And we've alluded to it a few times, but just trying to develop for a second. So this is the idea that Rav Rosenzweig was telling me on the phone again. I appreciate Rav Goldstein arranging that. It was definitely extremely helpful when I'm formulating the for the Chabura. And again, any mistake an explanation or Havana is definitely my own. But according to Rav Rosenzweig, Avoda Siluk highlights a lack of focus on the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Gavra who is doing the mitzvah, and is instead a focus on the Totsah. And the Chiddush is that even the Totsah is part of the Avoda, right? The Totsah is going to be part of the Avoda, but it's an Avodah Siluk. It's not an Avodah Matana, and there's a difference between the two, and you have to figure out where the difference is between the two. But fundamentally, Avodah Siluk is going to be about the Toel a Totsah focus and not Maisa focus. And Rosenberg said this fit very well with the Rav's explanation regarding the requirement the Kohen Gadol to stay by the Ketores until the room is filled with smoke. And that requirement does not apply to Kol HaShana. We saw the Egros HaGrid, who sent the letter to the Grizz. The Grizz, you know, has nice words for the Rav, but seems to disagree. We won't get into it. But the Rav's idea is that there is an extended avoda during the Ketores, and that is going to apply both to the coming in and to going out. That part of the Talich of the Ketores, what we called footnote 7 before, going in and going out are part of the avoda of the Torah, and you might not be able to do a shtach avaya and all those things that we've referenced earlier. So I think what Rav Rosenzweig meant, again, if I'm wrong, it's my fault, is there's a similar idea for the Hotzal's kafu machta. Besides for the need to come in and go out when you do the Torah, there is also an expression of the uniqueness of the Torah of Yom Kippur of the Hotzal's kafu machta.
Is there a Totsah in this? What's the connection between this and the first part of the Rav?
That the Torah of all year long is going to come with requirements that don't apply the rest of the year. I think that was what he meant. So therefore, just being there, for example, that's not normally going to be considered and get a full-fledged avoda status.
That's the time to Maisa Totsah.
How does... I think I'm going to get to that point in a second. I think that is a Maisa point, but I think it's like another wrinkle of the ramification of this idea. Not only are you going to have maybe a more Maisa focus coming in and going out, but you're going to have it also come along with a Chefsa focused avoda that would not apply the rest of the year.
So during the year, it's just the Maisa Akta.
Right.
Right. So.
And Yom Kippur then also comes with a Maisa of coming in and a Maisa of going out. And also a focus on another going in to remove it, not as a focus on the Maisa HaGavra, but instead the Totsah of again, his words, Kiyam Mitzvah Mitzad HaChefza, that is going to be unique to Yom Kippur. That you have to make sure that this gets out of the Kodesh Kadasha. That is the way that I understood his Avodah Siluk.
So I understand there's the Maisa HaKtara Kol HaShana Kula on one extreme.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Totsa'a Avodah Siluk of removing the Torah.
You're just not understanding the bridge between the two.
And what is the standard?
I think we're just giving an outsized role to things of Ketores, of Yom Kippur, and that is going to have two ramifications, which I'm suggesting. Again, the Gavra focus coming in and coming out, and the Totsah focus of Avodah Siluk.
Okay, is the idea here that, like, you do all sorts of outcome-oriented things all the time. Like, of course you remove the Machta on the regular day as well.
Right, right.
But you don't raise it to the level of an Avodah.
And go into the...
unless it's the Torah and Yom Kippur. Yeah. You raise all the
exactly.
Practical...
It's a part of the uniqueness of Yom Kippur.
Was the suggestion that the Torah itself is really an Avodah Siluk, or you want to have Habayas Nismali Asha?
I didn't think so, but again, if...
be there?
I didn't think so, but that was... Then you get into the questions of the Hishtach Havaya and things like that. That seems to be much more focused on the Gavra, right? That's what we were bothered by.
Yeah, I was trying to reconstruct what he was saying to you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try and end the time. So, well, definitely good question. And I think that was what I tried pinning it down. And it was you're more on board than yesterday. So that I consider a win. But I want to try and develop another idea. Rosenzweig told me it's okay to speculate. So this is speculation. And he said, quote, I'm going to give you a couple of quotes that he said in a second, but the individual pieces can be explained other ways, but the things together are an intriguing suggestion, and it's okay to speculate. So this is going to be my own, a little bit of speculation. Rosenzweig has an idea that he's fond of achas b'shan. And it really starts with, what's the idea behind the 5 and the 10? It doesn't seem to be like the most efficient or logical system. You're going from the Big Day 11 to the Big Day Zav back and forth. Again, the Halacha Moshe Mitzina, according to the Tosfos Yeshanim on Daf Lamed Beis, the Ritva, is that there's not that there's a tefillah, you have 5, 10 tefillah, 5 and 10, rather that you're switching avodas 5 times. So it sounds like there's really this idea of going back and forth between the Big Day Lavan and the Big Day Zahav. So Rav Rosenzweig suggests there's a back and forth. Again, obviously there's more to develop here. There's a back and forth between the two, which is really supposed to be both a contrast while also integrating the two parts, the generic to the unique. So we're trying to relate the unique avoda on Yom Kippur to the normal avoda Kol Hashana Kula Kula. And therefore, how are we going to express that? We do normal things differently, and it thus has relevance to the rest of the year. His line, I think this is a direct quote, Yom Kippur needs the rest of the year, and the rest of the year needs Yom Kippur. So it sounds like there's this idea of Achas Peshana. That is all Rav Rosenzweig. You don't like that, you can take it up with him. I wanted to connect it to the Shitas HaRambam, which I said I was going to get back to earlier. The Rambam thinks, again, that the Tamid is all the way in the fifth cycle against Rashi. That's evidence piece number one. And also, we referenced before that the Rambam drops the requirement of having the Big Day Lavan in the morning being more expensive in the afternoon, which the Mishnah Melech was cranky about, etc. So I wanted to suggest the Rav and everyone else are trying to focus on the Rambam as to why the Tamid is not earlier. But I wanted, why the Hotzos Kaf HaMach is not earlier in relation to the Tamid. But what ends up being, according to the Rambam, is where is the Hotzos Kaf HaMach right before? It's right before the Torahs. It's going to precede the Ketores, right? You're not going with an interruption to the Karban Tamid. Rather, you're taking the Kafu Machta and going straight to the Ketores. So I want to suggest, perhaps, the Kotzos Kafu Machta is highlighting this idea of Achas Beshana and both contrasting and integrating the unique Torahs of Yom Kippur with the Torahs of Kol Hashana. It's not like the Ramban that's going to get pushed back because it's not an avoda, or like the Rav that it's about the things that precede it. But rather, we want to place the Hotzos Kafu Machta next to the Torah of Kol Hashana Kula to accentuate the similarities and the differences. And therefore, this is really going to be, again, I think an avoda siluk for the Rambam, but this is, it's going to be a prominent avoda. The Rambam doesn't think that the Big Day Lavan have a different quality in the afternoon. It's a full-fledged Big Day Lavan that we're trying to take the uniqueness of Yom Kippur's Ketores and place it and make a connection to the Ketores of Kol Hashana Shkula. And I think, again, I apologize, is it okay if I go 5 minutes late or no? Yeah?
All
right. Is it okay?
One thing before they go.
Okay. I won't be insulted if you walk out. Okay. So I think this expressed in a couple of ideas also. That there's an interesting question that Mikdash David and Simon Chav Dalet has a suffix, whether the Hotzos Kaf HaMachta is a din to take them to the Heichal, or you're just taking it out from the Kodesh Kadashim to the Heichal, or do you even have to take them out of the Heichal? And Rav Chaim Paltiel actually assumes, seems to be, that the din was to take them specifically to the Heichal. And I thought, perhaps, that this, why would there be a specific din to take the Kafu Machta to the Heichal? You're trying to take out the garbage of Yom Kippur, so you should take it all the way out. Why would it be to take it specifically to the place of the Heichal? So I said, perhaps, this is about contrasting and integrating the Torahs of Yom Kippur with the rest of the year. So it makes sense to say, if that's the case, that there's a specific din to bring the Kafu Machta to the Heichal, where you're going to be doing the Torahs, even if later it gets removed. And similarly, besides for the way out, even on the way in, right, you have the Knisa L'Kodesh Kedashim, right? The Pesukim we noted says, Uva Aron El Oel Moed. So the Cheshek Shlomo quotes someone who asks, why does the Torah say El Oel Moed if it's referring to the Kaf HaMachta? That happens in the Kodesh Kedashim, which would be Mibes LaParochas. And the Masha Chachma explains, and Chumash, that the Pasuk says El Oel Moed to allow and demand a Bia into the Heichal to go in and take out the Kaf HaMachta. And you can't go around and circumvent the Heichal. You need to go to the Heichal, then go to the Kodesh Kedashim, and then go out. And it could be that the formal Bia for the Kafu Machta has to start with the Heichal and end with the Heichal, because that is the perfect contrast and integration, again, of Achas Peshana. And even if you don't buy that idea, as I see Rabbi Goldstein for a second, is either way, you could explain the Pasuk slightly differently, that Rav Chaim Paltiel thinks, Va Aron El Ol Moed, is referring to the coming after the coming of taking out the Kafa Machta. You come to the Ohel Moed, and then if there would really be that idea that we said before, again, the Suffolk given the Mikdash David, that it's coming from the in the Pesukim already. Uva Aron El Moed. You have to bring them to the Ohel Moed. And just to end with the idea of the Chassam Sofer says, why do you need a tefillah? It's a strange question, but I'll take the idea. In Torah's Moshe, in Parshas Achrimos, says, why do you need a tefillah before your last change to the Big Day Zahav? Because the Kohen Gadol elevated his status by wearing the Big Day Lavan, and thus his regular avodos that he's going to do the Big Day Zahav are now on a higher level than they were before, and thus they require a tefillah. So I think, you know, this idea of achas b'shana, of trying to contrast and integrate the Torahs of Yom Kippur with the Torahs of Kol HaShana Kula, and hopefully again this limud for us has something, definitely for me, has been, you know, the achas b'shana is definitely different than my normal learning has been, and hopefully we can take the achas b'shana, which is both the contrast and the integration, and take the Avodas Yom Kippurim with us for the rest of our learning, for the rest of our lives, and shkarif to everyone.